never rat on your friends, and always keep your mouth shut.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
Hey, Mom, what do you think?
You look like a gangster.
I know I'd...
By the time I grew up, there was $30 billion a year in cargo moving through Idlewild Airport. Believe me, we tried to steal every bit of it.
What do you do?
I'm in construction.
He's not Jewish.
Mazel tov.
For most of the guys, killing's got to be accepted.
Hey, Henry, here's an arm.
Very funny, guys.
Here's a leg.
Here's a wing. What do you like, the leg or the wing? It's you.
For us to live any other way was nuts. And we were treated like movie stars with muscle. We had it all just for the asking.
It's gonna be a good summer.
It was a glorious time.
In a world that's powered by violence, on the streets where the violent have power, a new generation carries on an old tradition.
All right, welcome back to the Movies. I am Ted Flint. We are here on the Tailgate Society podcast network. You can find ourselves on Tailgate Society on Spotify, Stitcher, Stitcher's Dead, iHeart, and iTunes.
It's been like 6 months since you brought it up.
It's never dead to me. Never dead to me. Rest in peace, Stitcher. Find us on tailgatesociety.com, some written content occasionally, and on your podcast network of choice. I'm Ted Flynn. I'm joined by Jake Voss. This is Shantez Fester, and this is Back to the Movies. This is where we discuss movies that maybe one of us has not seen in a while, or have not seen at all. We were discussing 1990s Martin Scorsese. Goodfellas.
Scorsese.
Tonight, I'm excited to discuss it. I watched this last night for the first time, start to finish, in a hot minute. I always like enjoying these movies because, like, I am an older person and Sean and Jake are not. So before we start.
Let's quit. I mean, we're all getting up there. Maybe not Jake, but.
Hey, man, I turned 31 in like 2 weeks. Getting up there.
Fuck you. Anyways, in case you've never seen Goodfellas, somehow. We are going to spoil the shit of this movie in 90 seconds or less. But in order to do that, I'm going to spin the wheel to decide which one of us three will spoil it. The wheel is very, very random. There is no answer. And here we go. Big Price is Right spin. And go. Clink, clink.
Why does
clink,
the wheel speed clink, up and clink, slow down?
Clink, 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 clink.
Oh,
Jake Voss. So you get, you talk I'm, shit. You
I'm
get, you question, get
I'm questioning how this wheel works, but you know.
Well, you know, it happens, and it, gravity is not a construct in my universe. Jake Voss, in 90 seconds or less, spoiled the shit out of 1990s Goodfellas.
So Goodfellas is a movie based on a book called The Wise Guy that is, I don't know how accurate the book was, but it's
look
based
at this
on
guy with his research.
The life of
so that's called Wise Guys.
I don't think that's true. Looking at it right now, it's called Wise Guy. So suck it. It's wow. It's a, basically the story of the life of Henry Hill, who is a mobster basically from the 50s through the
63
late 80s, the first Flash in the movies in 55. So suck it again.
Fight you.
and we kind of see the progression of his life from man he was I mean basically from when he was like 13, and then it jumps to him being like 21.
Right when he's a very adult Ray Liotta, he says I'm 21, and I'm like okay,
and we see him interact with I don't know how many of the characters names are real, but we see him interact with James Conway, who's played right by Robert De Niro, Tommy DeVito, that's Joe Pesci, Paul Cicero, that's Paul Sorvino. I mean, the names of the guys in this movie are pretty crazy, but basically see how he rises up the ranks and then comes crashing down while just blasted, cracked out on cocaine.
Right.
At the end of the movie.
I mean, it's a gangster movie. It's a mobster movie.
And then the end of the movie is him basically flipping on everybody and going into witness protection where he was until he died from cancer. No, he didn't die from cancer. Somebody else did.
Jimmy Conway.
Yeah, Jimmy Conway died in prison from cancer. But
Paulie dies in the end, but Jimmy dies in prison in real life.
Yeah, but he ends up going into witness protection, and that's kind of basically the end of the movie. But we can, now that we're where we are, we can see how that all ended up since we're 30 years later. So
right, and Henry Hill like got kind of back in the thing here, like in the last like 10 years, because like everyone was dead. And he just said, fuck it. And like, he like had a podcast and shit. Like he liked the limelight.
I mean, at that point, why would you not? Like, nobody's killed you yet and you're old enough. Like
everybody else fuck died. It. What's going to happen?
Yeah, right.
They don't have vendettas that long in the mob. Like
my favorite, little trivia of this thing is I have never seen this movie. Like this movie that came out at the same time or a year after that has Steve Martin in it. And Rick Moranis, that was literally Steve Martin being Henry Hill and Rick Moranis being his FBI agent when he's like in the witness protection and like having like keep him from being an asshole and like saying who he is. It's like My Slice of Heaven or something. Heaven's in the title. And I would look it up, but last time I Googled was something Jake screamed at me. So,
well.
No, the last time you were silent and muted
context,
for 5 minutes and Googled something, I yelled at you. Yes.
Still don't know what fucking Pod Road.
I believe we have discussed that movie for at least 4 seconds before.
Also, so I think it's interesting. I think, Ted, I think you were kind of under the impression that maybe like we were all super familiar with this movie, but we hadn't like seen it in a while or something. I think I had only ever watched this movie at least through once, and it was long enough ago, or the circumstances were what they were, to where I didn't remember half of this movie. Like there are definitely parts of this movie that I remembered like super vividly, and I was like, yep, I know what's happening right now. And then there's just like 20 minute sections where I'm like, I don't remember any of this at all.
Which leads into the first question is like, what is your guys' first memories of this? If you have a first memory of this movie, like when did it come into your consciousness? Like I'm the old one here. So like I remember it being on a double VHS, right? I had the VHS, the two VHSs that you had to like switch it out because it's a long enough movie, or like the DVD
minutes or something.
Yeah. Or the DVD that you had to turn over halfway through.
Yeah, I mean, I remember at least, I don't know that we had it in my house, but at least a family member or a friend, somewhere that I spent time as a child quite a bit. I remember seeing like Goodfellas. I was always familiar with the title of Goodfellas and like, and I don't know, I guess sort of maybe just asking around as a kid of people who had it or whatever it was. And then even growing up, you kind of get, you know, if you're watching just movies, if you're a pop culture kid, like, you know that Goodfellas is the mob movie. It's the mafia movie. Like it's always obviously...
it's the quicker of the, that it is always Goodfellas and Casino and Goodfellas, like,
yeah,
and Goodfellas was the one that like was the good time one, and Casino was the one that like was longer and like more in detail in depth. Yeah, but Goodfellas was the fun one, quote unquote, because I mean, this movie's, watch this movie now, I had forgotten how unfun that back half is.
Yeah,
it's tough.
There's like a stretch, and I have a note. I made a note. I was like, this, like, there's like 30 minutes, and it's not the end of the movie, but it's like when they start ramping up on the coke stuff, and he's like super strung out. was when like, he gets there's to prison. Like, there's like yeah, 30 it's minutes of this out of movie prison. Where yeah. the movie is on fucking coke. Like the movie is strung out. Like it's not fun. It's stressful. It's not good at all. But so let me, I'll at least answer the like consciousness part. This is another one of those movies that it was just a thing. Kind of like what Tez was saying. Like at some point, it was just there and it comes into like your realm of pop culture that it's just there. It's the mob movie. It's the gangster movie. It's the movie that like some kids kind of like some people kind of become obsessed with like the life or the attitude and kind of become wannabes or like try to emulate some of the stuff or whatever. I'm not saying people are like thugging out and like,
right.
Hitting, like yeah. taking hits I mean, out on people or whatever, but it's and I guess, something that at some point, well, you know, middle school age or whatever it was, it just kind of was just there and people are aware of it and know what it is.
It's, and I guess it's sort of one of those movies that even, yeah, when you're a teenager, you kind of watch it and maybe you don't finish it because that back end is just weird and you're a teenager and you don't, you've never been coked out and doing coked out stuff.
you don't know what that hope, is like.
But it is like my first note on the movie is that obviously in the social media age and we have all these, you know, articles about movies and stuff like that. It is one of the most iconic, I think, opening scenes and especially dialogue of as long as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster. And you have that whole thing. Like, I even knew that as a 14-year-old.
Dude, the first hour of this movie is so much fun.
Oh, yeah. And it's running around handing out money, doing the mobster shit. Like, it is.
It's the rise. Fun. It was the high. It was the fun. Just, end, the high.
We got fun. We got money. All we got is money and good times. And then, you know, there's some dirt on the side that some people take care of. It is what it is. That's the job. But we're having fun. Like, but it's even in that opening scene, that whole opening scene of just, yeah, I had some kids, some classmates from school carry my mom's groceries home because you know what? They respected me. You know,
he was just, like, he started at like 11 or whatever, working at the cab stand for the gangsters and like parking cars and stuff. And yeah, there was like one line in there. He's like, by 13, I was making more than like the adults of my neighborhood type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's some of that stuff that it obviously got. You know, it's one of the baseline mob movies. Obviously, there's a handful of them between The Godfather, yeah, Casino. You got this one, you know, however you want to draw your line, but you get into like it's stuff they take in The Departed, where Leo DiCaprio talks about just like, oh, yeah, when I grew up, I ran favors for these guys. So I was, you know, I was a protected kid and I was this and that. Like, that's always. And I guess part of the scene, this may shock you, I did not grow up in New England as a mob kid. But it's obviously a very fun story. They build it up incredibly well, and they do that first hour or so about just like, yeah, he's not getting into, he's playing a 19, 21, whatever the year it is, as a 37-year-old
36-year-old Ray Liotta is playing a 21-year-old.
And don't get me wrong, Ray Liotta looks very good. He's a good-looking dude, but also, yeah, you're not 20 years old, man. Everybody in this, I think they say De Niro's like 28. Just like, yeah, no, so
When he's introduced, no, he's supposed to be like 28, 29, which is Henry's 13, so there's like a 15-year age difference or so there. But you mentioned the like storytelling part of this, and I'll let Ted talk about go whatever the next thing is. But this movie, and I don't know that it started it, but they opened the movie like basically two-thirds of the way through or at a really crucial part. Like they cold open with an event that's happening and then flash all the way back and then tell the story up to that point and how they get there. And that's a really like fun kind of way to tell a story, as well as we find out at the end that the narration is coming from like the very end, once they're like, you know, Henry and his wife are already in witness protection and they're narrating their story, and they do, that's where that's coming from the whole time.
Yeah,
it's a really interesting like way to tell the story. But
yeah, I think it's good, especially because it's obviously, you know, it takes a while into the meeting of his wife and just the whole dating, quote unquote dating of them, where they really didn't want anything to do with each other. They were just set up for a random date. And just, you know, he played the charisma card when he got called out for standing her up, and like, you know, led to them falling in love. Let's call it falling in love. I don't know that it's falling in love. I think it's, she got to live a very healthy life, a very well financed life.
I have some takes on this when Sean finishes his thoughts.
No, I was just going to say, like, it's the actual leading in, like, the actual story about them meeting again, quote unquote, falling in love, is just, it's mostly skipped over. Like, you get the little, she shows up about him, he stands her up.
And how old is Karen when this, like, 18, 19? Like, they say he's 20, 21. Like, how old is Karen?
I would assume she's right around that age, because Joe Pesci's supposed to be right around that age too, also, right? Or a little bit older.
Well, she's still in her folks, so I mean, she can't be terribly old.
Yeah, but that's also a time where you're typically not like out on your own as a woman. I mean,
like 2024?
Like 1962.
No, yeah. I mean, like, as a single like 20-year-old is, anyway.
I know.
Yeah, but and then yeah, he does the whole, you know, she comes up to him, you stood me up, you know, basically
this Friday? Was that this Saturday?
Yeah, and just basically giving him the whole like call out, fuck you, like you're a piece of shit, blah blah blah.
She looked really good in that scene, respectfully, with that shoulder dress. Respectfully.
And he did, you know, he did some smooth talking. He did the, oh yeah, that was tonight. I thought it was next Friday, blah blah blah. Then he makes a couple jokes and just, I'll make it up to you. And just as she's getting back into the car, she's just giggling. She's like, okay. And we're just like, I don't know, maybe, but I don't know. And then obviously they go to the Copacabana. He just gets the VIP entrance. They walk through the kitchen for way too long. They do a whole lap and just go through a door that they could have got in right away. But then, yeah, they sit down, they get the table brought to them, and just, you put a 20 in all of their pockets. And he's just like, yeah, it's what I do. And does the, yeah, work in construction.
Which, I mean, the Copacabana, them walking.
And then it just kind of gets skipped after that. It's just like, yeah, they're in love and they're married and everything's fun. Or whatever they do, the little Mazel Tov, shatter the glass. And they skip a lot as far as the dating and marriage goes. But,
and also the Copacabana is like the infamous scene, like Martin Scorsese's, like the tracking shot from the car through the hallways, through that thing. Like,
yeah.
And like, I want to know like how like you would do that. Like how like the brain would wrap your hand, like the director, like keeping 100 people. And like, you're going to know when to do this, when to do that. Like, how many takes do you think that takes before, like, you're just like, everyone's pissed off at everybody? The third take, when someone fucks up and you're like, well, fuck you.
I think the beauty of that scene specifically, and I wouldn't know, I'd have to, like, think or watch some of the other ones, but so you start out, they go, like, through the tunnel, you have, like, stage people that are by themselves that are very easy to deal with. Once you get in the kitchen, yes, there are people that he like recognizes and talks to or whatever, but kind of the point of a kitchen is like, it's chaotic. So like, as long as like people just kind of roll with it and nobody like really fucks up.
Yeah. It
kind of just works, because that's what it's going to be like if you just walk through a kitchen, right? Like, it's not organized.
Right.
Yeah. There's only so many people that obviously like even physically interact with him, and like there's maybe a level of just like, you tell everybody that's in that kitchen staff, like, hey, don't cross this line, this is where we're walking through, you know, you can drop a line, it is what it is.
But that there's obviously that's a fair point though, because there is only like maybe what, like four people that are like planned basically to like interact with him. The rest of them are all kind of away, so
right, and just a tap on the back or something like that, and so you get some of that. Like, I think at least for something like that, for like that sort of Scorsese shot, and granted, on the backside of it is, so when they do the introduction to all the mob guys,
that's another tracking shot.
He just because it
comes around the back of the bar.
But like, yeah, and it's just one by one going, this is this guy, this is how he, this is what he does, this is why his name is this, and they just introduce, you know, they
it's make so a, good they that's make such a good line. Scene that's such a good sign that's such but a good then scene.
You're kind of, you're obviously doing you know, voiceover in between, and you can maybe kind of fit that as needed,
but probably two times.
But it is 100%, you have, that's probably the harder one, because you have to go through what they introduced 15 people in that scene.
It's so good.
And you just got to go down the line, and nobody in the background can mess up what they're doing. Like, everybody in there's talking to somebody, and they
dude,
just gotta be on it, and it is very good. It is incredibly good. That Bamboo Club, God bless it. So, I'm so sorry it burned down.
All right, let's discuss that, because the Bamboo. I have a few things. Remind me, Jake, to come back to Karen. So I want to talk about Karen, but like the Bamboo Club, where the dude signs over his life and livelihood because he's a fucking idiot.
He's in a hard spot, man.
And I feel like this is a question. It's the most memorable part of the movie. Like, funny how that whole scene is good.
She in that scene, that scene's great.
That he that's what won him the Oscar. I guarantee that scene won him the Oscar. So he won an Oscar for this fucking role.
And I feel like that scene has been semi replicated before, and maybe just that memorable that like I think that. But
and it lasts forever, like,
which is kind of the point of it. Like, it gets like they run it to the point of where you're like, okay, it's gonna break at some point, right? And it just keeps going and going.
And especially if you're new to this movie, that's your first real Pesci part. He's in it a little bit beforehand, but that's like the first time he talks, right? And he's like, "What do you mean funny?
Yeah,
like I'm a clown." Like, it shifts, but they're all laughing, and everyone's just like, "What's so funny about this shit? Why are you laughing at me? Like, are you laughing at me? Is that what we're fucking doing right now? You know, like,
you said I'm funny. Like, funny how?
Funny how?
Clown? Like, ha ha, funny?
Explain me how I'm funny. Explain me how I'm funny. What's so funny about this story?
So fantastic. Yeah,
and Henry's just doing that whole, just the way you tell a story. You tell a story, so it's funny. It's funny. Like,
and I don't know. I wouldn't say that scene by itself won it for him, because he has some really good like unhinged like shit that he does in this movie.
The best part of that scene is like after like he defuses it. And everyone's laughing, and then he hits that dude in the head of the bottle, and there's like, "You're a funny guy." He's like, "You motherfucker."
Yeah, yeah.
He
and
the gun out, and he's like, "Oh, you're so funny."
That's obviously, you know, what you learn throughout the movie is sort of the beginning of his sort of unraveling of just like, just violence, man. It just,
and the story
beyond intimidation.
He tells the cop to go fuck his mother, and then he knocks him out, and he wakes back up and goes, "I thought you fucking told you to go fuck your mother. Why are you still here?" Bing bang, you know. Like, and the best part about Pesci's character in this movie is the dude he's playing, the guy he's playing, the guy, the real life dude, was 6'3", 300 pounds.
Tommy DeSimeon
is a big fucking scary dude.
Tommy, two-gun Tommy.
I'm sure, maybe smaller than him, but he's a bigger dude. And Pesci plays him so intimidating that you're like, yeah, That's scary as fuck right now. That's man scares the fuck out of me.
His wiki doesn't have any of that listed. I actually, so I probably should have done this before, but I hadn't opened any of the actual Wikipedia stuff for this, like the movie or any of the real people before. And now I want to like read all of it. Cause yeah, it definitely was not, obviously I think most all the characters other than Henry were like renamed, but they're all like, for the most part, they're all based on somebody. And then like, not all the movies or things happened or whatever, but
right.
But it is interesting just to even just glancing at some of the Wikipedia stuff about how like the Tommy, like that guy was a fucking psychopath, basically.
Dude, right, like pretty much is. And like also, like I said, I love Casino. I'm a Casino person. Like when I was growing up, it was Casino or Goodfellas in my friend group.
To put Casino on the list too, is what you're telling me.
It's 3 hours long. It's not near as good as this movie. It's like a more,
I mean,
it's a less
fun. I have never seen Casino.
It is a less fun version of this movie, but in my opinion, better. Because in this movie, like it like glamorizes the crime too much.
Yeah, sure.
Well, Casino is more about like how
glamorizes the light, like the
right. And so like
part of
gangster. So I was telling you guys earlier, like so I watched this movie last night with someone that who had never seen this movie, and we watched it together. And it was real interesting for me to listen to her, like her thoughts on it. Cause like I grew up with this movie. You have known this movie. Sean, I've known this movie. But someone who like had zero recognition, zero
context, no idea about it.
Like, yeah. And she's just like halfway. She's like, why are we rooting for these people? These are all bad people.
It's more definitely or less. One of those movies where
we're just so used to like, we like Henry Hill. We like DeVito.
They're all actually bad people, the good guys, like an anti-hero type of thing. Yeah.
Well, Henry Hill's a piece of shit.
Yeah. Not a good guy.
But like Leota's like just he plays as a
caressing. Like Wolf of Wall Street. Like.
Right. That's a really good example. Like, and you know, both directed by the same person. Anyways, but yeah, like so like it's just like, but also it's amazing. Like this movie came out the same year as Godfather Part 3.
Oh, damn.
Which is wild to me.
Okay.
So that's interesting, but Pesci's character's movie is fucking so good.
He does it so well. I don't know.
I don't know who else could have done it.
Well, I mean, there's probably people that could have done a character that was reckless and crazy, but I don't know of a lot of people that could have done it that way and done it that well. Because he just does that so well, or did that so well in this movie. Like I'm on the scene now, so like he's already been. So I don't really want to skip too far ahead, but one of the most memorable scenes, and the one
for you
that sticks in my head the most probably is when, and it leads to the opening scene of the movie, is when he comes back to the bar to the guy and they like kill him in the bar. He like comes back in.
Oh, Billy Batts.
Billy Batts. And like, he saw him after whatever, Billy Batts got back and he like was making fun of him basically. And so
put your fucking shine box, Tommy.
Yeah. And so Tommy like leaves, but then he waits until everybody else is gone out of the bar or the restaurant or whatever. And he comes back and just starts beating the shit out of him, and him and James and Jimmy Conway kill him. And like that is, it's that, and then it's the scene with the kid while they're playing poker, and he's like
spider,
and he like makes him dance,
Micro and Polly,
and then he comes back, and then the kid tells him to fuck off, and he just unloads six rounds or whatever in the kid's chest. Like that's like all of the stuff that supports him being that insane. Joe Pesci does so well.
The best part about that, or talk about the spider thing here real quick, is if you watch it, if you're watching this for like the umpteenth time like I am, and you know what's going to happen, watching Pesci when De Niro's like, are you going to fucking let him do that shit? Oh my God. And like, he's ribbing him. And it's not even that big a deal. And Pesci's just sitting there stone faced. And he's just so
pissed off.
He's just, and Jimmy does not see it. And Jimmy was just like laughing. I'm like, the balls on that, man.
Because that's usually how that goes, right? Like, that's the behavior that everybody has, except
psychopaths.
Except psychopath.
Yeah, right. Because you can see it obviously on Jimmy's face. Like, he's smiling and laughing and joking. He's just slapping the money from the poker game and just the balls on this kid, man.
He's like, wow, dancing.
You're really going to let him do this? You're going to let him talk to you like that? And then he just unloads a fucking revolver into him. And then in the weirdest little, you know, sidebar that I don't feel like needed to happen was, yeah, Henry runs over there and like he's sitting with him for like 2 minutes and then he's like, he's dead. I'm just, yeah, no shit. He got shot 4 times in the chest. What do you mean he's dead?
Yeah, I think
we all know he's dead.
That was supposed to kind of symbolize Henry like finally being like, okay, like, no,
I'm not going to be these guys. Yeah.
Well, no, I think it's more like, okay, like he's fucking crazy. Like,
well, and that's, sorry.
Listen,
that's
like I've seen him like beat the shit out of the guy that insulted him. Like, right. A grown
I'm
adult.
Not
going to
be
I've
Tommy.
Seen, I saw him like, yeah. You know, accidentally shoot the kid in the foot when he's whatever, being an asshole. No, he just straight up murdered this kid.
Right. Like, yeah. And okay, I think
he's fucking insane. Like, Tommy's insane.
Yeah. And that's, I think, also the start of, obviously, you know, like I said, that's, you get that progression of Tommy just kind of losing his head and getting into this you know, almost untouchable, like I'm a dude, like he always treated himself as, you know, as they say, just a made guy. And then at the end when he goes to get made, he gets popped in the head. Popped in the head in the front and the back so he doesn't get an open gasket. But yeah, it's, you get that progression of, you know, Tommy losing his mind, or not losing his mind, maybe losing his mind, but being way over the top about just proving the points that he wants to prove because he thinks he's so above it. And then you start getting into it shortly after with the stuff with Jimmy, when it gets into, you know, they pull the big heist and Jimmy starts freaking out and, you know, starts just getting everybody killed.
So what is everyone's favorite quote from this movie? Do you have a favorite quote? Like, is it just the funny how, like, that the one that like is even remotely touchable?
Yeah. I mean, it's a good one.
That's the only like real concise quote, yeah, that I would, or, you know,
all
something
right.
like
and
that,
which
that I would pull out of it.
Which is one, which is yours? Is it funny how, or is it I'm a clown? Like, what am I a clown? Like, what was your guys of the two?
No, I think it's when he looks at him and is like, funny how, like, tell me. Like,
yes. Right.
And it's, yeah, literally it's the funny how, like those two words, it's that point in that like interaction where you go, oh, this is maybe going to get interesting. Let's see how, like, this goes.
Mine is definitely like I'm a clown. I amuse you. I'm a clown. I amuse you. Like that's me.
Yeah. All right. And obviously it's just Pesci delivers that stuff perfectly, you know, and just he's got the perfect body language and everything for it. And just, you know, he's doing the Italian shoulder shrugs and just, yeah, for me, it's a little more on the, just because he stops the whole conversation with the, what do you mean I'm funny? Funny how? And that's,
explain, I mean, me how I'm funny. Why am I funny?
Right.
Tell me what you're laughing at.
Yeah, it's like, and as I said, the only other quote I guess I have even in my notes is just that opening, like, and obviously I'm never going to use it in my life, but it's the, you know, as far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
For as far back as I remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. Does not feel the same.
Like, that's going to be the quote, obviously, that I always attached to this movie, but as far as a quote that I would maybe use, yeah, it's the.
All right.
What do you mean? So, I'm funny.
So funny before I get too off the rails here, we discussed the Karen thing earlier about 20 minutes ago, before the ref show. What I can gather. So I was watching this last night with someone who had never seen the movie, and she could not understand why Karen did not leave him at like five different times this fucking movie.
Yeah, it's a pretty like
healthy, like the handy
emotionally healthy way to process the
relationship. He hands her the gun that he used to beat the piss out of her neighbor.
Bloody snub.
And what does Karen say? I've never been more turned on in my entire life.
It kind of turned me on. Yes.
No, she says, I've never been more turned on in my entire life. When he says, hide this so your mom can't find it or some shit. Or no, he said, hide it.
He just says, hide this.
Well, yeah,
blood-soaked gun.
There's multiple times in the whatever first part, at times in their relationship where like bad shit happens and she's just like, but I was attracted to it, basically. Like, for whatever reason, like, I found that attractive. And it's like insane. It's insane behavior. Like, I don't know. Like,
he says,
I get that people have
down the block. He puts his girlfriend down the block. He's like, I want her down the street so she'd be cool. Like, what the fuck, Henry?
The girlfriend was around the corner from like the clubhouse or something.
Yeah.
Not from his house.
I don't know if it makes it better.
No. I'm just saying it wasn't around the corner from his house. I don't think nothing makes it better. I'm just saying that it was like by the like clubhouse for the mob or their group or whatever.
Anyway. So then she finds out about the girlfriend. He wakes up with the gun point at him.
Yeah.
Talks to us about that, which I mean gunplay in the bedroom. I'm not a king shamer. I'm just not into it.
Don't
point. I just need it to be noted.
But you need what, Sean?
On that revolver for where her finger is, there is almost no room to pull it. That is a hair trigger.
Yeah,
I agree with this. She is hysterically crying.
Damn, is it?
It would have taken nothing to accidentally blow his goddamn.
I thought multiple times. I was like, she like is borderline accidentally pulling the trigger at this point.
Is it inappropriate of me when I was watching that movie last night to wonder if you know where this is going?
No, sorry.
I can stop.
No, go ahead. I want
to. Hang on. I'm concerned
about where this is going.
I want to know where it was going.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Sean?
Yeah, well, let's hear it. Let the world know.
Is this a judgment-free zone?
Always has been.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. We might make fun of you, but it's judgment-free.
It's just us three, right?
Yeah, nobody else is listening to this anyway.
Nobody's can't say goddamn on the radio.
Yeah. Do you think I'm just gonna say out loud. Do you think it shriveled up or it got harder when he woke up and there's a gunpoint in his face? It was the morning.
Did you actually like? Have you you actively thought like ask yourself that question?
100%.
I'm not saying he didn't get excited for a second, but I bet it went south real goddamn quick when he realized he was probably about to get shot in the face.
Yeah, I don't think there's. Yeah, I don't know.
Adrenaline's a hell of a drug. Brain,
my brain cannot process any part of arousal coming from waking up to a fucking loaded gun in my face with a finger on a hair trigger. Sorry. So I think that's an insane thing to like ask yourself at that point in time, but you do you.
Sean has my back. Sean has my back here.
Listen, I don't think shame, but like loaded gun with finger on trigger in your face is a whole different level than kink.
Right. I did not think about it at all. And obviously,
so I'm the asshole. I get it.
If he woke up being strangled,
well, no,
that is better. That is way different than a fucking loaded gun in your face, buddy.
Oh boy,
I'm gonna have to come to Ted's house and make sure there's no loaded guns.
You're not coming to Ted's house.
There's no loaded guns in the end tables.
We don't kink shame on this podcast.
We don't,
buddy. Yeah, that's okay. I might have to take this part out,
or we can make it into a clip. Anyways, all right.
Well, hey, if you want it to be the clip, that's on you.
Right, it is his words. but on the backside, yeah, he does obviously roll her over and then whip her.
She lets her
and strangles her,
and she stayed with him.
And I don't. In a weird way, if you want to talk about it, you can delete this part. That's maybe what turns him on.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah. I would say that, like, that part.
Or her
I don't think her wailing on the floor is her being very
sexually she didn't aroused. Seem super excited.
Right.
Fucking deleting the whole last 10 minutes.
Oh my god.
All right. Well, speaking of strangling your wife, what hasn't aged well in this movie?
All of it.
There's a couple hard R's. That caught me off guard. Wasn't expecting that. I mean, shouldn't have probably been surprised, but that definitely was I think that was the first thing that jumped out in the movie itself. Yeah, I mean, just the womanizing abuse stuff, obviously, is
Fridays were for
pretty accurate, but
Fridays were for wives, Saturdays for girlfriends.
Yeah, it's some of that, like, in a weird way to phrase it, for a mob movie that's 30 years old, like, I would guess if they made a mob movie today, it would be almost the same.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, that's what I mean. Like, the womanizing stuff, that's probably just going to be a part of it. If you're
right, I think that stuff was obviously and you got to take into account they're doing the came out in 1994 and it was talking about stuff from 1970 whatever,
yeah,
where they were just like, yeah, this is, you know, it's the way it was, and it's just like, but also probably sort of the way it is, and maybe to some extent obviously there's a lot of stereotypes of the mob, because if you're not in the goddamn mob, you don't know anything about the mob. You just know it from The Irishman, you know it from
that fucking movie. Says shit.
It's
only watched it once.
I watched it three times and I fell asleep an hour in every time.
I broke it up into like 1 hour segments.
If I can't watch your 3.5 hour movie, which I should never have to.
I was in a bracket pool with my boy Rick, and his bracket was called 120 minute plus movie, because he wanted to fucking spite me. If you cannot tell your story in 120 minutes, I don't want to hear it.
So you just want to watch three movies.
If you cannot tell your story in 120 minutes, I don't want to hear it.
So what about like trillions?
That's three movies.
That's why I said. So you wanted to watch three movies instead of one.
Sure, that's fine.
Okay.
So how do you feel about Lord of the Rings, which takes an entire day to watch?
Are you just gonna fight me on shit? Fuck off! All right.
No, I won't.
Can we talk? So can we talk about them the going?
We can like, watch. We can watch prison. All the Death Race movies fucking 8 hours.
No.
I will have the time of my
talk life. About them going to prison, like being in their own thing, and like
all right, yeah, that's and... not a thing. What are we doing here? Like they're just Henry gets to leave for hours at a time to go get sausages.
No, he's not leaving. He's going to the thing. But also, I've never liked garlic until I saw fucking Polly cut garlic, and I'm like, put that garlic in my fucking meals.
You don't like garlic?
Wow, we just fucking judge me tonight. That's fine. Yes.
Fucking garlic.
Yeah, on amazing. Not liking garlic. Yeah, I have a. Yeah,
I'm sorry. I'm a fucking vampire, and that's fine. I don't like seek out garlic. I don't seek out onions. I didn't relate to anyone in my entire life.
Not Italian at all.
That motherfucker being like, too much onion in the sauce. Many,
is it three small onions and two cans of tomatoes? And
I don't hate onions.
12 cloves of garlic.
I don't hate onions. I just don't seek out onions. All right.
They do seek out
onions, but
I do.
I don't seek them out, but I do. I secretly love an onion.
So for reference, for whoever the hell is actually listening to this, they show Polly like using a razor blade to thinly like shave the garlic. And the line in the movie is that like there's that Polly shaved the garlic so thin that it literally just disintegrated into the sauce.
Yeah. Just,
which makes it sound amazing, by the way.
You don't like garlic.
I don't know. I just don't seek it out.
Okay.
I didn't like realize I was going to be attacked for my garlic.
Your and garlic apparently, take?
And apparently whatever kinks you think I have takes. I don't have a gun kink, to be clear.
Okie dokie.
I'm far left, motherfucker. Anyways,
what is your like earlier? But you go, you do you.
What do you put on a burger? What seasoning do you put on a burger?
The shit I buy from Fairway, like something that I don't fucking know. The ones that like that's a fun seasoning. I guess that's exactly what it's called.
Probably.
We don't got to dive into it. I love garlic. Garlic is the spice of life.
I'm glad to see that neither one of you are vampires. That makes me happy. All right. Fuck faces. All right. I know the answer to this question, but gotta ask it anyways. Is there a famous actor in a small role in this movie that you did not realize was in this movie?
There's the one obvious right. one. And I did not remember that Samuel L. Jackson was in this movie.
Were you shocked? When like,
yeah, he showed up, and I was like, "How do I not remember that fucking Samuel L. Jackson is in this movie?"
It's like his third role too. Like, it's like his third.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sneaky one.
Stax dies.
Stax Edwards gets fucking capped in the back of the head.
Stax doesn't die. Stax gets assassinated.
Yeah. Back of the head, just bam.
That man had so much blood in his brain.
The best part is he's like splatter. That was like. Get the coffee to go. He's walking out of the coffee mug. He's like, fucking, no, fucking
leave it. Leave it.
Yeah, make that coffee. Skinny. Make that coffee Jackson. To go.
Skinny, what might as well have been whitey tighties, but were yellow pattern undies.
Yeah.
Also, all right. So
that was all right. So we keep skipping like things and talking about stuff. They go to prison, they get out.
Well, Henry doesn't. Paula gets out.
Yeah. So this is that's when they're out, and they start. I mean, they're basically whacking the guys that were involved in the heist to not have to pay money.
Well, out to everybody. So it's also the whole thing of. You get the whole scene with Polly of talking to Henry like, hey, nobody fucking do anything. You can't be, you're all associated with me. You can't you can't do business. You can't run drugs. Well, you can't do all of these things.
He's basically telling him,
because I'm not going to die in prison, because the moment you guys do something for me or do something and I'm connected to you, I'm going back to prison for the rest of my life. And they get into this whole, oh, we're running cocaine out of Pittsburgh, so Polly won't know anything about it. And it's just, and so they're all playing their little side game sort of thing, which starts to get kind of lost in the plot until, you know, the very end where he switches into the witness protection to rat on everybody. But it was just the whole thing. It just like, there's a means to an end for everybody there, where just Polly was just like, hey, I can help everybody as much as I can, but we can't do business the way we were doing business.
Well, I think Polly's
for a while.
Polly's biggest thing was he knew what Henry was doing to get by while he was in. And that was Pittsburgh connection. And so he's
for sure,
you got to be done with that. And as long as you're done with that and tell me you're done with that, okay. But I also need you to like make sure that fucking
you got
to
watch
Jimmy and like everybody, whatever, they're not doing their stupid shit too. And obviously what happens is coke everywhere and everybody keeps doing their shit and everything gets bad. But
cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Yeah. So basically from there, that's what starts the, so you have after the prison thing, you have, Samuel gets whacked. Everybody, kind of the side characters involved in the heist and all that stuff, are getting whacked. And then you have Henry, who's continuing to do the coke thing. And from there on, just like strung out more and more for the next like 30, 40
spiraling,
minutes.
Spiraling forever. Right. Just to the point of where, at what point do you get caught? And then you get into the whole paranoia helicopter chase scenes.
We don't need to jump that. We don't need to go that far ahead though. Like, cause there's the, one of my favorite scenes, and Ted, I'll let you say whatever you're going to talk about, but it's on the TV now where they like are showing up at the party and like everybody's spending their money.
Right.
And Jimmy's like, I told you guys to not fucking buy shit for a while. Yeah. Like, don't draw attention to yourselves, and everybody's doing it.
Which, and it's such a great scene. It's such a whole like thing. Like, he's like, don't want to incriminate myself, but like, it's such a fucking easy rule, man. Just don't. Just fucking sell the money for a year, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, like any amount of months.
Don't do anything excessive for a handful of months.
You just made 500K. Where the fuck they
live easy and don't go buy extravagant shit.
You're already not. You weren't on the street, right? Like, you know.
I mean, you get even. Is it? He was already making his money on the other stuff, but it's Henry's apartment where he's just decked out in.
Well, Henry's on the one
Chinese shit in gold walls and a Flintstones wall that pulls back to a bar and TV and just like, man, you guys don't just hide your money very well in general, do you?
So speaking of this scene, what is your, like, there's two pretty famous gifts from this fucking movie, in my opinion. Do we agree on that? Or are you guys,
I mean, you got Ray Liotta laughing all the goddamn time.
Yeah, it's the hysterical laughter in the...
All right, like, well, then there's three. There's three, then.
Okay, and then there's the De Niro smoking gif.
Yes.
What's the other one that you were
referencing? Henry in the shower. Happy. Celebrate in the shower.
Okay.
It's
one didn't jump out to me. I don't...
And also, it's not a gift, but it's a meme. It's Tommy with the two guys behind him. That I love that shit.
Walking in the door with
like that.
Because then that's kind of the end of like what the sequence we were talking about is Tommy thinks he's going to get made because he's the only 100% Italian.
I love and using so that photo.
They come like pick him up and take him to the house, and he's, you know, supposed to go to the ceremony, and he's got his nicest clothes on or whatever. And he walk him into the room, and the two guys are behind him, and they shoot him in the back of the head, which is revenge for the
Billy Bats.
Billy Bats, for a
handful.
Let you go get your shine box, Tommy.
But it's that screenshot for sure of when they walk through that door, and he just has that look on his face. Just
as Iowa State fans, we've used that fucking hit a few times. You know, of course. You know, this is how the bad things happen. But. It's the Nero gift, right? The angry smoking one. That's the gift, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, Jake wants to fight.
I don't know, man. Sure, I'm not gonna like fight you hard on it, but the like hysterical like Ray Liotta.
The Ray Liotta laugh, I think, is more prominent.
I think I see it more than
maybe I'm an angry person on Twitter. So like
I think the Ray Liotta gif gets overused in some contexts, but like it is a, because anymore, I think personally, anyway, for me, like I use it as a almost like a sarcastic, satirical laugh. Because some of those nights that he's doing it, even in the movie, it's the girlfriend night, and he's just laughing along to laugh along. But he's so over the top in that.
Well, but the famous GIF one is when he's laughing right before the funny how scene.
Like, right. Yeah. When he's
that's the one that and that laugh, like that hysterical laugh, when you watch it, looks to be just like 100% over the top, like on purpose laughter. I'm not actually laughing. I'm just like hysterically laughing to make you think you're funny or whatever. And that's like the, at least the context of that GIF or the way that GIF looks a lot of the time. But I don't know. I wouldn't fight you on the, cause I see the De Niro one a decent amount, but I guess I don't, to Ted, is that like, to you, is that, if you're gonna say like the number one GIF, is that the best or the most used?
To me, it's the De Niro smoking angry.
But no. Is for you, like, what is your criteria that you're talking about when you say number one GIF? Is it like the best one from the movie, or is it the most popular one from the movie?
I think it's all above, man. Him staring off, smoking that cigarette, just pissed off the world.
You think that's the most used GIF from the movie?
I think so.
I don't think it is. That's why I was asking that. But I mean, we also all see our own world of Twitter. And
I'm an angry person on Twitter.
Yeah, you're super angry on Twitter.
I'm not angry. So. I'm not angry, but like, just,
it's my secret. I'm always angry.
Yeah, I mean, you get on me with the cock block roundabout thing. So I mean, I'm still 100% in the correct. Here's the thing, though.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
All right. If we want to get in, like, as me, as an online person.
That's not
and then shush, give me 45 seconds to cook. So the Liotta laughing at the whole like funny how thing, how they zoom in on that GIF is, it's fuzzy and it's kind of granulated. Where like the De Niro smoking a cigarette is a much more clearer GIF, and that's why I like it better. For the most part, the Liotta laughing GIF is kind of fuzzy in the GIF library. I'm sure you're going to find a very crystal clear version of that GIF right now to spite me.
I'm comparing currently.
I should just like shut my phone off because I'm going to be online and I'm going to get pissed off. All right. Sean's staring into my soul. Can't tell his fucking mics if his camera's
stopped working. So I think looking at the like just pulling up the two gifts. So I think the probably the difference in the two is I think the De Niro gif gets to use basically the whole widescreen, like they use the whole shot, whereas the Ray Liotta gif is like cropped and zoomed in some. So you're probably right in that. But I mean, this Liotta, the laughing gif isn't like overly pixelated, but it is less quality than.
So is there something that took you out of the movie? Like something that took you out of this movie, like your least favorite part? You're like, it's 1990, et cetera, et cetera.
No, I mean, to me, there was probably would have been stuff if it was like I watched this in 1992 and I was like 20 years old or something. But to watch it today, it's like, yeah, it's a movie set in the 70s or whatever. So it's like, I don't know, like, what do I not expect? Like, I just expect things to be outdated or whatever. As far as
it is a very quick two and a half hour watch. This movie works it. It goes at a clip.
Which is nice. I mean, it moves along pretty well. Like it does. I mean, you could possibly make the argument that, you know, like we said, especially that last hour, it starts just doing a lot of things all at once.
The last hour is like, none of these guys are good people. Why are you rooting for them?
Right.
One thing I will say about like the didn't really take me out of the movie, and it's a like gangster mob movie, whatever. But like, they're just always wearing suits. Like always, yeah. Like they just wake up and put a suit on every day, no matter what. Like I understand like that's kind of the same context of like, this is a movie set in the '70s. It's like, it's a gangster movie. Like that's probably what they did. So that like, that doesn't really take me out of it. But there was a time where I was like, just like every day you wake up and put a fucking like dress shirt and tie, undershirt, dress shirt, tie, suit jacket, pants, shoes. Like there, how many scenes of this movie is somebody like, not put that on? Not very many.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's, and they do a couple spots of just like, oh, don't touch the suit, like it's, you know, it's, they're doing, again, they full on do the mob stuff.
Like all right. I said, that's just the context of it. I understand, but there was a time like towards the end of the movie or at some point that I asked myself that. I was like, oh, okay, that's just...
All right, well, I'm going to ask the question that, like, as someone who, like, grew up with this movie, obviously, you two guys are youths, it never dawned on me until, like, a few years ago on Twitter, someone, like, asked me this question. Like, they didn't ask me, they asked Twitter, do you guys think when Karen goes to meet Jimmy, towards the end there, before they go in the witness protection, is he killing her?
Yes.
Yeah, I never thought that might ever until like.
Why did you think she stopped and ran away and got in the car?
No. I think she got paranoid.
Oh, do you actually think that's what was happening? Yes,
yeah, that's what I'm asking.
I think maybe it was just the kind of the like adding to the mystery part of it, but I believe that there's a line, a narrated line right after that, that is Ray Liotta saying, and I think maybe he goes to meet with Jimmy after that.
No, it's before.
But is that the line about like the people they never like, what, something about like the people that are gonna kill you never like, you never see right. them coming type of thing, or your
right because they're discussing him. Breakfast. He was go to Florida. Hop on this, and he's like, that's when I knew I was dead.
Yeah, and so I think it, to me, it was like kind of in the same vein. Like, I don't know. I thought, I never doubted that was what that was going to be. If she walked in that room, she was going to get grabbed and she was going to be dead.
We're on this, Sean.
I've been busy. Sorry.
Was Jimmy going to whack Karen? Like, if she walked into the shop or whatever with the guys?
Yeah, I think that whole point was to, it was either I don't know if it's a full whack or if it's just a, they were going to do some really nasty shit to her.
It wasn't, it was certainly an odd thing for him to be so like coercive of like, right, go down to here,
just sort of
going, like, keep going, go in there. That was, you know, like a bit out of character for somebody, yeah, that was gonna,
it seemed like a sort of happen, like, but send a message like, yeah, go in there, it'll be fine. And obviously she rounds that corner and it's just two dudes moving just pallets.
So Ted, what was your thought on that then?
So like, I never like thought about it, right? And then
thought about it?
Like, just like, as someone that like, grew up this movie, like grew up on the VHS double, the 2D VHSs. I watched the movie and like, but like, so like a few years ago, like, I saw on Twitter, like, you're like, and people like, was he gonna kill her or not? So watching it last night, for like, knowing that's in my head, like, is Jimmy trying to kill Karen? Yeah.
Well, I'm just curious, what did you think that was before then?
Paranoia.
So that was,
you, but mind you, I was like, buddy, I was 20 year old male.
Okay.
I'm a 20 year old boy. Did not give a shit about Karen because I'm a 20 year old dude who loved Henry, who loved Jimmy, who loved Tommy. Yeah, because
I think no matter what, I would always perceive that scene as either she was going to get killed if she walked in there, or it was to send her literally just to send her a message and like scare her.
I do love, like, my favorite part, like, little trivia about this movie is like the FBI agent that like just talks with Henry and Karen is the actual FBI agent that talked to Henry and Karen.
Oh, really?
That's not an actor. That's that man.
Hmm. Would explain why he was very good at in that scene.
Also, that's why I tweeted out my tweet this morning about how the dogs.
I enjoyed your. I enjoyed that.
You think dogs can go on witness protection?
Yes.
Where are we at? I'd like to think so.
If you're, yes. And the reason I say that is because someone is not going to spot your dog and be like, that's that person's dog. And not see you and be like, oh, that's that person I know that's in, like, you know what I mean? Like, the dog isn't going to be the thing to give you away if somebody like finds you or whatever. So like, yeah, sure. Of course you're going to be able to take your dog.
So Jake, you've never seen Casino. Sean, have you ever seen Casino?
I don't think that's another one. I don't think I've watched front to back. I've seen a lot of Casino.
So like, does it like, I know you've seen that part. I know we've all seen like the latest or Scorsese. And we're gonna end on this real quick because like, it's tonight. Does this movie make you want to watch Casino at all? Either one, or like.
So oh yeah, like,
Jake's young. He's gonna say like, it's a 3-hour movie. It's a long movie.
Like, it's, I understand that.
Casino is not near as fun as this movie, but it's better.
Like, I understand that. And, but it's also, it's kind of the thing with any, I mean, there's movies that have come out since, and as long as I know that it's long and I prepare myself for that, like, just make a spot for it where I'm like prepared to sit down and like, this is what I'm going to do for 3 hours. I don't have a problem with that. And yeah, I like well done. I understand that it's less fun. I mean, this movie definitely is fun enough on the front end that it makes it okay that it's as long as it is and whatever, but if it's well done, I don't have a problem with committing that time to it.
Right. Does anyone, anyone have any notebook? What's our notebooks on this thing?
Tez said he didn't have a notebook. So.
Yeah, I had very little. Like I said, I literally have, I have the opening line. I have, who in the hell is drinking all this Cutty Sark?
Oh, gross.
Because
Ray Liotta's supposed to be 21 and also then De Niro 29. And then off at the end of that, I just go, De Niro's a legend. Like, his facial expressions are incredible. except for when he tries to do the crying part. When
that's bad,
man.
It's very bad.
De Niro, like, oh, like we had a whole decade.
So
of, like,
actually, hang on a second. So before you, the crying part. When that part happened, I was like, is he supposed to be crying because he's dead or because his meal ticket of a maid person is dead?
It's both. Because he's dead after that.
That's what I was like. I'm pretty sure it's because he's fucked. Like, that's why he's crying. He doesn't actually care that the person is dead.
He's no longer protected.
His tool, his maid person that's going to protect him is dead. Sorry, what about De Niro and...
It's just like he's amazing. He's so good in this movie.
He's very good. Yeah.
He's so good in Casino. He's like,
yeah, he's incredible for 40 years.
He's fucking, like, he's De Niro, well, man. Like,
and I love how, like, we all sleep on him. And, like, his Oscar movie now, the Flower Moon movie.
Great movie. The Flower Moon?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that movie yet.
Crushes it.
I've heard great things about it.
He is terrifying in that movie, but look, Goodfellas, watch Casino.
I think I have one note I want to get to. There's one left that I think I absolutely have to touch on.
All right,
because it made me laugh. This took me out of the movie, but it's not the movie's fault.
Is it a gun kink?
No. So when they're going through and they're panning through, walking through and introducing, like, the different, like, gangsters and stuff, Frankie Carbone, this is like 2 years before Happy Gilmore. And that's like the brother-in-law. Like, it's his sister's husband that he lives in the basement of. And as soon as he looks the exact same hair, everything. And I was like, fucking, Wedding Singer, not Happy Gilmore. Adam Sandler movie, Wedding Singer.
I was so confused. I've never seen Wedding Singer.
Wedding Singer. So he lives in the basement of his sister and brother-in-law's house. And that's his brother-in-law. And he's just like this guy. He's just like this, you know, kind of gangster Italian looking dude. And he, like, has a couple, like, scenes and couple lines in the movie. But, as soon as it, like, showed him on the screen, I was like, that guy. You know that guy. Like, it was the lead of, like...
The meat freezer guy. I know
that guy. No, sorry. So that was... Yeah, I put Happy Gilmore on here, and that's why I read it. But it's Wedding Singer, which, if you haven't seen Wedding Singer, goodness, you need to watch that movie. You'd love that movie.
Fuck you.
Well, that's not very nice. I love that movie. You'd love that movie.
It's a phenomenal movie.
I know. It's on my list. All right.
Needs to go to the top of your list.
I know. Well, you know.
But I think that's all I got.
I have someone that we're on a rom-com journey. I'll fucking toss on there.
Yeah, you guys. Yeah, you guys watch that. Although, yeah, you guys. Yeah. Either way, you're gonna like it.
But you can't say but there and not.
No. Either way, it doesn't matter. you'll like it, and it'll be good either way. But
it's, I'm in.
Yeah, definitely. I can't believe you. Yeah. Are there any other? Sorry, no. We're not doing this now.
Any other Sandler movie?
Any other, like, classic, amazing Sandler movies you haven't seen? That's like it. Any of those '90s ones? Okay.
That's it.
I have 8% battery.
No, we're good.
Is that on your computer?
Yep.
You know a plug-in?
Not if I have my mic plugged in. Apple, baby.
That's why Android is the best. Green bubbles for life.
Shut up.
Bubble. All right. Until next time. Also, we should watch Pulp Fiction. Ooh. For our next movie. I have not seen that in a very long time.
Okay. As long as one of us, like, hasn't seen it in a long time, then I am down.
What does he still watch? Pulp Fiction. Start to finish?
Yeah, probably.
I have never seen it.
What?
What the fuck?
All right. All right,
fuck, are you fucking serious?
Pulp Fiction.
You
next.
Can hit me with almost every one of those Tarantino movies.
Really? All right.
Almost.
Wow. Oh my god.
None that's of actually honestly, perfect. I have a lot of the Tarantino movies too, but Pulp.
That's
Fiction
how you. I'm not. I was gonna give you two great housewarming gifts, and now they're gone.
On that note.
All right.
That's
all
what
right.
it took, huh? That's brutal.
No, I mean you're still getting them. Really, Pulp fucking. All right. So next time, Pulp Fiction,
Wedding Singer, whatever.
Go fuck yourself, all right? One of those won an Oscar.
That's a good way to wrap it up. Yeah, Wedding Singer should have.
One of those won an Oscar.
Billy Idol gets it. I don't understand why Ted doesn't get it.
Billy fucking Idol.
All right.
What's your outro? You came up with one now, right?
All right. Yeah, we're going to. All right. So Sean's on Ted Festerman. Jake Voss. I'm Jake Ted Flint. Until next time, I wrote it down. It's in my kitchen. It's really funny. It's on a post-it note. Next time I'll have that post-it note and we'll figure shit out. We're gonna watch Pulp Fiction because Sean apparently has never seen it.
I like this idea.
And all right, so next time when we watch Pulp Fiction, I'll have an exit. Because Zed is dead. And Zed wants me to have an exit.
Zed is dead. That's the exit.
All right. Later, boys. Have a good one.
Peace out.
See ya.